Join us five, five. Pull up a kitchen chair. There's music in the making, and we hope to see you there. Gather round your radio, we can chat about our tunes. As friends and neighbors get together to play a few old tunes. Local folk on the radio, it's time to listen in. Local folk on the radio, let the music you speak in.
Welcome, friends and neighbors, to another Local Folk Radio show issue. In this month's installment, we have an interview with Steve Seifert, local mountain dulcimer expert, along with a reading from Dave Bagdad on his book on baseball, which is kind of folklore in itself, a Gary Kaiser, local guitarist, tune, and some music from the Punkin' Holler Boys. Many folks will be attending our up-and-coming Eagle Creek Folk Festival in June 9 and 10. But more on that on later. Here we go with the show. Well, up-and-coming, we have an interview with Steve Seifert, mountain dulcimer player and seller extraordinaire. Our own Susie Krasig from the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society was attending the Ohio Valley Gathering when she captured this interview. Let's take it away.
Okay, hi there.
Hello.
This is Susie Krasig.
Hi, Susie.
And I'm here at the Ohio Valley Gathering interviewing Steve Seifert, dulcimer player.
I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your musical background.
Well, I grew up in Northern Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Yes.
Did you think I was from Indiana? No, I thought you were from Ohio.
Well, I was born in Ohio, at Bethesda North. And
hospital?
I think I had Skyline Chili, like, right out of the hospital. So I went to school in Northern Kentucky, and somewhere about the end of high school, I discovered the mountain dulcimer.
High school?
Yeah. So that was a little while ago. And we had friends in Indiana, you know, we'd go all over the place. They had family up in Indianapolis and family in Columbus, so.
But what did you study in college? You didn't study dulcimer.
Too many things. It took way too long.
But wasn't guitar your main instrument?
No, piano.
Oh.
Yeah. I started with jazz and classical piano. And they put you in these little practice rooms. Especially if you're a performance major, you're just stuck in these rooms all the time. And
with the piano.
Yeah, and so as a break, I would take my dulcimer and just go sit somewhere and play. And it just started to make more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also learning about folk music, traditional old-time stuff, old ballads, old-time fiddle tunes, Irish music, that kind of stuff. So I just got really less interested in the classical and more interested in folk, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And so you got to know some other dulcimer players?
Yeah.
By going to festivals, the Cincinnati Dulcimer Society
was the first bunch. I fell in love right away. I went there for their annual... The first time I saw a dulcimer, it was their annual Christmas get-together.
Hmm.
And everybody brought a dish. Mm-hmm. So I was eating and playing music. I thought, this is perfect. later on, I got interested in the music of David Schnaufer.
Mm-hmm.
And spent some time up in Nashville, Indiana, and met folks up around there. And
mm-hmm.
Went to school in Lexington, Kentucky. And but David Schnaufer, that got me fired up about playing the dulcimer.
Mm-hmm. And you made a CD with him.
Yeah. We played with orchestras, and we worked at Vanderbilt together teaching. We traveled together. It's funny, the dulcimer is not... You know, it's not the instrument. When I was young, I never even knew it existed. And then, you know, I think what I was really drawn to with it was the challenge and how different it was. And,
mm-hmm.
and there was no expectation of what was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like I could explore a little rather than just do what somebody else had done. And so.
And you've certainly done that.
I try to.
Yeah. Well, play something for us.
Play a little tune?
Yeah, play a little tune. Well, you've got a bunch of books.
Yeah.
Tell me about your books.
A lot of folks, there's folks who play by ear, there's folks who like to read music, some people do both, so I've got a lot of books for jam tunes, finger picking. I've got a whole series of videos. We've got a website called dulcimerschool.com, and there's lots of videos on there for learning all different levels. Working with a fella, Dan Landrum, who runs Dulcimer Players News Magazine, so that's something to to look into. One thing we've been working on lately is a new piece for dulcimer. It's about a 30-minute piece full orchestra, Mountain Dulcimer.
I wanted to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, we've done it once so far.
Mm-hmm. What's the name?
We've got this new piece we've been working on for full orchestra and Mountain Dulcimer.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Broad Band of Light. The composer's Connie Ellisor. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've performed it once already. We're still kind of shaping it and molding it, but we hope to play it all over. Hopefully go to Europe and maybe do a couple things. So.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Well, the fifth movement is called Nodding in the Wind.
That's great. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
The other thing that I find fascinating is besides all your playing work, your recording work, your guitar, mandolin, virtuosity, that you've had time to be a writer. Not just a writer of songs. My resources tell me that you've written articles in such publications as Bluegrass News, and others, and of all things, you've written a book.
I have.
Why don't you tell us a little bit something about the book?
I'd be glad to. The book is called A Year in Mudville, an Oral History of Casey Stengel and the Original Mets. And it is about the 1962 New York Mets, the worst baseball team of the 20th century. And, I mean, there's a nice little tie-in here because this is a folk program. And one of the reasons that I wanted to write the book was that it was just such a great story, but there was so much misinformation. There were so many kind of urban legends that had grown up around the team, so many folk tales, as it were, that I just wanted to kind of collect all of the information out there about the team, supplement it with some of my own interviews. And as it is an oral history, it is told very largely through the words of the actual participants, players, journalists who cover the team, fans who were there and witnessed the games, etc. And then, of course, you have Casey Stengel, who was a folk hero kind of in and of himself.
True enough. Now, does this set some of these misconceptions right?
I believe it sets all of them right.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to go out there and actually do the research, which took, you know, a substantial number of years, and actually hear all of the different versions of various events. And there's one that I address right in the prologue where all sorts of different versions were out there as to who said what happened. It involved a player named Marv Throneberry, who was known as Marvelous Marv. And there were also seven different theories as to where Marvelous Marv got his nickname. And I collected all of those and put all of those in the book as well.
And did you manage to distill that down to one prevailing theory?
Yes, I believe so. But you gotta read the book to get that.
I was just going to say, and as they say, to find out, you must read the book.
Yes, well, mandodave.com, and the book has its own website, which is ayearinmudville.com.
Great. Right. Well, speaking of reading, would you grace us with a reading from your book?
I'd be delighted to.
All right.
Let me kind of set this up here. This is right before the Mets were to begin their first game of their first season.
Mm-hmm.
And their manager, Casey Stengel, who at the time was 71 years old.
Wow.
And was noted for many things, including his ability to talk and his ability to talk in circles. One of the things he was not good at was remembering the names of his own players. So this passage talks about what happens when the broadcaster of the team attempted to get a very short spot from Stengel introducing the players on the team.
Okay.
Shortly before the game, Stengel was interviewed by broadcaster Lindsey Nelson, during which he introduced the starting nine. Beginning with the noted Mr. Hodges of the Dodgers, he went through the entire lineup, discussing each player in turn. Nelson, who had budgeted 90 seconds for Stengel's remarks, knew he was in trouble when Stengel went 3 minutes before even reaching the outfield. Stengel spent additional time on Frank Thomas, who hit 25 home runs last year in Chicago, two in Milwaukee, gets him 27, hits balls over buildings, got experience and power, very good, we can use him. Some on Richie Ashburn, one of the quiz kids in Philadelphia, gets on base 200 times a year, which is excellent, delighted to have him on our side. And then ran into a recollective wall when he got to right field. He could not remember Gus Bell's name, but he continued on nonetheless, stating that Bell was the best of five or six fellas that's doing very good, that Bell had hit 300 for Cincinnati, that he had seven children, and on, before finally concluding as follows. He's a splendid man, and he knows how to do it. He's been around, and he swings the bat there in right field, and he knows what to do. He's got a big family, and he wants to provide for them, and he's a fine, outstanding player, the fella in right field. You can be sure he'll be ready when the bell rings. Oh, and that's his name, Bell. Stengel's answer to Nelson's question had taken 12 minutes.
All right, that's a reading from A Year in Mudville, an oral history of Casey Stengel and the original Mets by the author Dave Bagdad. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
So we've appreciated that you've come over to Local Folk and shared your book and your music. And is there anything upcoming that people need to know about you?
Just to be on the lookout for Diamond Hill Station, Cousin Brothers shows. Find all the information about them at mandodave.com. And very much appreciate the chance to be here.
Great. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Phil.
All right.
I am a man of constant sorrow. I've been in trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where for 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I see, for in this world I'm bound to travel, I have no friends to help me now, you tell my friends wondered about me, why I'm wandering out in the cold. I'm bound to ride that Northern Railroad. Perhaps I'll die on that train. Oh, you may bury me in some dark hollow. Friend, you'll never see me no more. Don't grieve for me while you're standing o'er me, while I'm sleeping in my grave. And when I'm in some lonesome hour, I'm feeling all alone. I'll weep the briny tears of sorrow and think of you so far away. I always thought that I'd seen trouble. Now I know it's come and run. I'll hang my head and weep in sorrow just to think.
We'd like to play a little music now from a group that's going to be headlining the stage at the Eagle Creek Folk Festival. That would be at Eagle Creek, of course, presented by the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. Both June 9 and 10, the Punk and Holler Boys coming up will be on the stage at June 9. You can get all the information about the Folk Festival at www.indianafolkmusic.org. But for the time being, let's listen to Ralph Ed, Slim Hadley, C.B. Hadley, and Jumpbox Mike, the Punk and Holler Boys.
Since time began, there's been a quest to fix things that are broke.
Mankind's just stood around and scratched his head without much hope.
Daddy used a bailing wire and sometimes a piece of rope. But if duct tape won't fix it, you know it's really broke. Duct tape, duct tape, reliable and useful duct tape. Foundation of our civilization, duct
tape. Oh, Shannon, now I long to see you. Look away, rolling river. Look away, rolling river. Across the wide Missouri. Oh, Shannon, I loved his daughter. Far away, across the river. She came to me. Thank you. Shenandoah, I long to see you. Look away, rolling river. Look away, rolling river. Across the wide Missouri.
Well, that wraps it up for this month's Local Folk Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed the music, the interviews, and such. Next month will be our big promotional month for the Eagle Creek Folk Festival, June 9 and 10. We'll probably be playing more music from people you might hear there and giving you more information. Again, thanks from everybody from the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society and Local Folk Radio.
Local Folk is brought to you by the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. You can find us on the web at www.indianafolkmusic.org. Local Folk is also produced by the following bunch of fun-loving and hard-working people: Phil Slates, Tim Hoke, Gary Ryder, Carla Slates, Nathaniel Rabb, Gary Rogers, Susie Krasick, Dave Slates, Mike Rabb, and a special thanks to our engineer, John Adamson.